Amen. Well, let's pray, and I'll get you out of here before 2 o'clock. Sounds good? All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness and for your mercy and your great kindness toward us. And Lord, we come today with hearts that are open, ears that are open, ready to hear your word, so that our lives will be changed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So we've been talking about, you remember last few weeks, we've been talking about what?
Partnership.
Mm-hmm. And partnership, we're looking at the scripture, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. It says that we are laborers together with God. That means we're, you know, a laborer. What is a laborer? It's somebody who works. Say you have a business and you hire someone to work for you, right? But you're paying them. I mean, this is how it used to work. I don't know if it still works this way today. But you would pay them to do a job or a function. They would be called what? A laborer. And wouldn't it be strange if you were paying them to do something, but you did it all yourself?
Mm.
Some people go, I have people like that I work with. Right? But yet the Bible says that we are supposed to be laboring together with him. That means we have our part and he has his part, and that we're supposed to be what? Co-laboring for a common purpose or goal along a certain path. So then we talked about prayer last week and how Paul would pray for the believers. He prayed for those he in his church and where he ministered, but he also he asked the believers to what? Pray for him.
Amen.
Because he said, we're of the same body. Yeah. I'm praying for you.
Yeah.
He goes, please pray for me. So this is supposed to be what? Even a partnership together in prayer. Realizing that if you're part of the body of Christ, by helping one part of the body, you help yourself, because you're part of that body. Does that make sense? You know, if you're walking, I did this recently. I don't know what maybe I wasn't paying attention, but I hit my foot on something, whether it was a chair or a table. And my first thought was actually pretty sanctified. I said, oh God, help me. It wasn't the bad thought, you know, that cusses and, you know, God, help me, God, oh. But immediately my hands, what, grabbed my foot, because my foot's in pain.
Yeah.
My hands didn't pick up a chair and say, do it again. No, it's helping my body, helping the part that's hurt. Well, in a sense, God's called you and I to build the body, his body, the body of believers. So if you see a part helping or hurting, you're supposed to help that hurting part, right? And in doing so, you're helping the whole body. You're helping yourself. So you can imagine if I hurt my foot and my hands didn't want to help, but so I can't walk. Can't walk, I'm limping. And then how am I going to get to where my hands want to go? Maybe my hands want to go read a book, but I'm not near the bookshelf. But I can't walk there because my foot's hurting. But my hands don't want to help my foot.
Yeah.
My hands are going to suffer from picking up that book, right? So in the same way, God, he has designed the body of Christ to work as a team, as a partner. And we all have a what? Part to play. So in prayer, let's look at Luke 18. It says this. Luke 18, verse 1. And Jesus was speaking a parable. And he says that men or women, people, they ought or they should always pray and not faint. One translation says it this way. You should always pray and not give up or cave in or quit. Anybody ever feel like quitting? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You could be praying for something or someone, and instead of getting better, they get worse. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, to pray without ceasing. Now that doesn't mean you have to go through like the whole day just praying without doing anything else. But what it does mean is that you have an attitude of prayer as you go throughout your day. You know, you have your prayer conscience, meaning you're aware that God wants to be involved in your life and you're asking Him for help throughout your day. Amen? For direction, for support, mm-hmm. what have you. I remember I used to, maybe I was a little religious, maybe, but I remember I used to, I think every 10 minutes I have to pray. So I pray every 10 minutes. I was spiritual. I don't know how effective I was, but I was pretty spiritual. Or maybe I was what? Religious. That was some years ago, right? Now I'm up to every 15 minutes. I'm doing good. But prayer in and of itself is not beneficial unless we pray in a correct manner.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some of you just, we could just pray for the sake of praying, but we don't get any results.
Yeah.
We don't know how to pray.
Yeah.
And then what happens? You don't want to pray because you didn't get any results when you prayed. So why pray? Mm-hmm. Or why pray just because someone else is praying? Mm-hmm. You know, they have books written on prayers you can pray. You ever see those?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pray. Prayers that get answered. Prayers that mm-hmm. get results. Well, that doesn't matter if you're just praying it because this is the prayer I'm supposed to pray and I'm just praying it out of like a repetition. I'm just copying what somebody else prayed. That's not going to work for you.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
It doesn't matter how many books were sold. It matters how many prayers were what?
Answered. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I mean, of course, the author of the book was happy because they made money, what have you. But does that mean you were praying more effectively? Not necessarily. You know, I know the Lord spoke to me about something. Because, you know, sometimes we get in the habit of just running and doing everything. Man, am I busy? Am I busy or what? And we think our being busy equals being productive. Because you're so busy, you got to be productive because you did so much. Something had to stick. Something had to be worthwhile. Right? And one day I was just kind of thinking about some things and he said, if you will be more selective, you will be more effective. I don't want to just, I want to be effective. I don't want to be just random in what I'm doing. And that goes for a lot of different areas. If we'll pray and say, Lord, show me what you want me to do, it'll be much easier. You know, rather than just doing anything and everything that comes to your mind.
Yeah.
If you will be more selective, you will be more what? Effective. And you won't be so wore out. You won't be so tired. You know how many people go, I got to go here. I got to try this. Let me try that. What happens? You get tired, right? Mm-hmm. You think, well, that didn't work. That didn't work. Well, if you're more selective, you'll be what? More effective, mm-hmm. right? So if we can become effective in our prayer and selective in how we pray, then we will be more effective, which will want us, once we get our prayers answered, we want to what? Pray more?
Right.
Understand that God has rules for prayer, just like, you know, there's rules for sports. There's rules in what? Prayer. I remember playing basketball one time, and one guy kind of tackled the other guy. And he said, dude, this isn't football. This is basketball. You don't tackle people in basketball. Why? There's different rules. Now, you can see tackling people in basketball is going to cause a fight. And you're not going to play the game very well. You won't be very effective tackling people. You'll be out of the game, right?
Yeah.
Just like if you're playing football, you don't want to dribble the football while you run. People won't, they won't think that's so cool, right? Especially the fans. Yet in prayer, we sometimes don't realize there's different rules for different kinds of prayer. And we just throw anything up there. Like, I'll give you a really classic example. You know, sometimes people pray, Lord, if it's your will, heal this person. Heal mama. Mama's sick. Lord, if it's your will, heal them. I said, why would you pray that way? Well, because Jesus prayed, if it be your will. Yeah, but Jesus wasn't praying, if it be your will, when he was talking about healing.
Yeah, right.
Was he? He was praying, if it be your will. Lord, if you want me to do this,
yeah.
If there's any other way.
Yeah.
And he even had his own will, because he said what? Not my will, but your will, Father, be done. That means he had to know what the will of God was. But when people came to him for healing, did he ever pray, Lord, heal this person if it be your will?
No.
He already knew God's will, or what God wanted, or what God desired. So, I got fired from a job one time, maybe more than once, I don't know. But one time in particular, and I was working at a Christian organization. Sometimes those are the toughest places, right? Because they're religious. But I'm just being honest. So the manager, my boss, he prayed. He called this meeting and he said, well, I want you to pray for my wife. You know, not just me, but the group. He said, because she's sick, and I don't remember what it was. But he said, let's just pray that if it's the Lord's will, that he'll heal her. And if not, you know, that will be done. And so after the group left, I went and asked him. And I was serious. I mean, you know, genuinely sincere. I said, sir, can you explain to me? I mean, I'm genuine. I'm very sincere. I said, I don't understand. He said, well, my wife is sick, and I'm praying that the Lord will heal her. But if not, you know, then God's will be done. And I said, then why are we praying? Now, I'm very sincere about this. He said, what do you mean? Now, this was like 2 weeks before I was let go, but that's not the point. I said, because if it's God's will that she be healed, then it won't matter if we pray. Because God's going to do what God wants to do. And if it's not his will that she be healed, then it doesn't matter if we pray. Because God's going to do what God wants to do. So I think it would be important for us to know if it's God's will for her to be healed. Because if it's not his will, then why pray? Why take any medicine? Why fight the doctors? Why do any of that? If it's not his what? Will. What he wants, what he desires. See, sometimes we think it's all up to God. We think he, you know, he's in control of everything and everything's up to him, which isn't true. We're going to talk a little bit about that. So he said, I don't understand what you mean. I said, well, I can pray that God wants her to be healed because I know he does. But he said, you don't know his will. I said, then if I don't know his will, why are you asking people to pray?
Yeah.
That she gets well.
Right.
Does that make sense to you?
Right.
So, it's just like you and I, when we could pray something to say, Lord, if it's your will, let this happen. But if you really don't know if it's his will, then you can't pray with confidence or assurance because you just don't know. And so what you have to do, what I have to do, is we have to go to the Bible and find out what his will is. Once
That's
we know
right.
what he wants to do,
yeah.
You know, my friend, his mom was, she's about to die, right? And so he said, he has a lot of brothers and sisters. And they're all fighting over the stuff now. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what families do. Sometimes they fight over all the stuff. And he said, well, he's telling me this. He goes, some of my brothers are like, Mama told me she gave me this, and Mama said this. And the sisters will say, no, Mama said this. Mama said, I got it. I get it. And he said, look, this is really simple. We're just going to go by Mama's will. Whatever Mama has in the will, that's what you get. And really, when you look at the Bible, New Testament, Old Testament is another word for will. Mm-hmm. Whatever God's will is, he wrote it down so you know that's what you qualify for. Right?
That's right.
So we're going to look at something on prayer. Because I want us to pray correctly so we get what? Answers. Amen?
Amen.
All right. These four pages will go by fast. Stay with me. No. All right. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And the disciples... You think about this for a moment, because we're talking about partnership, right? And we realize that God wants to be partners with us, that he has a role and a function for us. And as we partner together with him, we do our part, he will surely do what? His part. So Matthew chapter 6 says this, beware, and this is a meeting out of the Phillips. Now you might have heard the King James Version, Matthew 6. It says, watch out is another good word, but beware of doing good deeds to catch men's eyes, or you will miss the reward of your heavenly Father. So when you do good for other people, or to others, don't hire a trumpeter to go in front of you, like those play actors in the churches or synagogues in the streets, who make sure that men admire them. Hmm. What's he saying? It's not that when you help someone, you don't have to blow your trumpet. Say, look at me, I'm helping this person. Am I not a good guy? Pretty soon, you know, does that bother you? If somebody wants to do something for you, but they got to announce it to everyone? Well, they wouldn't be here without me. I had to pick them up, drive across town, give them a ride, use my own gas money, right? Man, traffic was horrible, and I got to take them home. Oh, God help me. Well, you know, that person, next time you say, do you need a ride? They're going to say, no. I don't want to go through all that, right? So it says, believe me, they have all the reward that they're going to get. No. When you give to charity, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Your Father, who knows all secrets, will reward you, right? So what he's saying here is, when you give, you just give with the right heart. You keep your heart humble. You're giving because you want to, not because you feel like you have to or because you're trying to promote yourself. You know, somebody, one time, they gave me something. And then I hear from someone else that this person said, you know, somebody else random, like, hey, I gave so-and-so, because he asked me, did so-and-so give you this? I'm like, yeah. Well, he was telling everybody about it. Well, I'm like, well, no, I don't want it. I'm going to send it back. Send it back and let him tell everybody I sent it back. Because, you know, that's not the right why. Then you're thinking about people's motives, and he didn't give because he cared about you. He gave because he cared about himself. And he wanted everybody else to know how a great person this person was, right? Kind of ruins the whole thing.
Yeah.
So when we give, the Lord tells us to watch for what purpose we are doing. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure we're giving as unto the Lord, that the Lord will reward us, right?
Amen.
We're not looking to give to be rewarded for men. And that doesn't mean that people won't know what you gave. That's fine. But it's your heart. Your heart. Why am I doing this?
Right?
Okay, now, he says, verse 6. When you pray, don't be like the play actors. So he's taking it for granted that you're going to pray. Because as he said, when you pray. Now, how many of you know Jesus prayed?
Amen.
He prayed a lot, right?
Yes.
He sometimes prayed all night.
Yeah.
And he didn't just pray all night about not falling asleep while he was praying all night. Like, Lord, help me stay awake. Lord, help me stay awake. Lord, help me stay awake from praying. I've done that before. Like, I want to pray for this long. Just, I don't have a purpose. I just want to, for myself, like my prayer goal, I want to pray for 3 hours. What are you trying to accomplish? I don't know. I just want to pray for 3 hours. Am I supposed to try to accomplish something? Or am I just praying to pray? So then you say, Lord, just don't let me fall asleep, Lord. Don't let me fall asleep. Let me stay up. It ain't going to help, right? Not really being effective. Right? So here, he says, so when you pray, don't be like those who love to stand in the synagogues and the street corners so that people may see them. Believe me, they have all the reward they're going to get. So he's teaching them to pray, and he says, don't pray fake.
Mm.
Now, you know, we have a lot of fake things going on in the world today.
Yeah.
Right? I don't have to go into all of it. You just know there's a lot of fake stuff. And I remember, I mean, just to give you an example, sometimes you might go somewhere like new and people want to pray in a circle. And everyone, hey, let's take turns praying. Now, the first thought that sometimes would come in my mind is, what am I going to pray? And what am I going to pray that hasn't already been prayed? And how am I going to sound when I pray? And what are the people going to think of me when I pray? Well, that really just wipes out my whole prayer because it's not something I'm really feeling in my heart. Right?
That's right.
What's the point there? I want to pray so I sound good, so people think I'm spiritual. So I have an eloquent, beautiful prayer that's not from my heart, but from my head, right? And what are they thinking of me?
Yeah.
These things, this does not please the Lord. You know, fake prayers don't impress God. In fact, I would say he doesn't even hear them.
Yeah.
Because it says, when you come to him, you got to come in what? Truth.
Yes.
Right? In the spirit of what? Truth. And that's why we see through scripture, like you have the Pharisee who's praying real religious. He sounds great. And he's thanking God he's not like you.
Yeah.
And you got the sinner there, the guy who's just really kind of honest, says, Lord, be merciful to me. And then Jesus says, which prayer do you think the Lord heard? Right? So if we keep that in our mind, it's like, okay, when I come to the Lord, I don't have to change the way I talk. I don't have to go old English. Oh, great God in heaven. Right? That's the only time I use that when I pray. No, you have to be real. He knows how you talk. He knows what you look like. He knows what you talk during the week, what you understand. And that's how you should pray with him. Now, I wouldn't suggest you calling him dude. Hey, dude. Maybe not. Definitely not.
No.
But praying in a way that you are just being real with him, not fake, and not acting like you're something that you're not, right? Because remember, you're his partner. He needs his partners to be real.
Yeah.
So not because he doesn't know, but so that you know where you are. This is a real, I mean, you know, if I was to say this is a problem, this is a big problem, where people aren't being real. You know, people, I told my wife, I'm so glad I married you before the age of plastic. And this change and that change. I would have to see DNA tests these days. I want to know for sure that you are what you're supposed to be. You're not something you're not supposed to be. I got to know. I'm just saying. I want to know. So we would have to take some tests. You think about it, like, you don't know. What's real?
Yeah.
What's not real?
Yeah.
I gotta know the truth. Well, when you come to God, he wants you to be what? Real. He wants you to be genuine. Amen?
Amen.
So he said, don't be like that. Don't be play. Don't be acting. He says, you be real. And he says, so when you pray, go into your closet or your room and shut the door and pray to your Heavenly Father. Now, your Father in heaven, that's where he is. And he said, now, I realized something reading this. I got this big revelation. I need a bigger house because my closet, I can't really go in there and shut the door. It's kind of a small closet. I definitely can't put a reclining chair in there. Some kind of soft chair I could sit in and pray and keep. You understand, you need a spacious closet if you're going to go to your closet. Of course, he's talking about your room wherever you are. But he says, when you pray, do it quietly. Mm-hmm. And I wrote notes here for myself. I said, don't take your cell phone in there with you.
Yes.
You don't need to take your cell phone into your prayer closet.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
God don't take text messages. So he has called us to a life of prayer, right? And we've already seen this in previous scriptures. He expects us to pray, to partner. You know, someone said that the Lord can only do what you ask him to do.
Mm.
He's bound on what he can do on earth by your prayers or your lack of prayers.
Mm.
So he said, when you pray, go into your own room, shut your door, and pray to your Father privately. Then he says, your Father who sees all things will reward you. And when you pray, don't rattle off long prayers like the unbelievers who think they will be heard because they use so many words.
Wow.
Anybody ever pray a prayer with long words?
Mm-hmm.
How about this prayer? I'll show you a prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us a day, our daily bread, forgive us our sins, forgive us our trespasses against them. Hallelujah. I prayed the Lord's Prayer. Did it touch you? No. Does it touch God when you pray that way? No. Praying just something long and fast, or because you know it, is a vain repetition.
Yes.
This is what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Because we become familiar with certain prayers, we don't recall or understand the effectiveness of what we should be really praying.
Yeah.
He says, so when you pray, don't pray these long, vain, repetitious prayers that have lost their meaning to you. Right? Mm-hmm. Don't pray like that. He said, don't rattle off prayers and you think you'll be heard because you just use so many words. You're just trying to wear them out. Don't do that. I mean, anybody ever done that besides me?
Yeah.
That's good. Some people praying, maybe incorrectly, but that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is if we start to become more selective in how we pray, we'll become what? More effective. He doesn't want us just making up stuff and saying things because other people said it and think because we pray real long, like when I was trying to pray the 3-4 hours, that God's going to hear me. No. He said, don't pray that way.
Mm-mm.
He said, how should we pray? Don't be like that. He said, after all, God, who is your Father, knows your needs before you ask Him. Pray like this. Now, He's telling you how to pray. This is the example of how to pray. Heavenly Father, right?
Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father, that means your Father in heaven. It means you have a Heavenly Father. May your name be honored, or holy is your name. So when we pray, we recognize who He is.
Yeah.
Lord, that your name is honored. You're holy. If we understand who He really is, and you part of understanding who He is, you have to understand who you are. Right? He's not, you know, if you went into some high executive, or say you went to the presidential office, you wouldn't go in there going, oh, president, 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 president. You go, how can I help you? Oh, president. Oh, you throw himself across his desk. Oh, you know what I need, president. He'd be like, get this guy out of here, right? What can I help you with? Oh, it's so hard in this, you know, in this country. He's going to say, can I help you with something? And you don't make a formal request. You're just going on and on. What about God, your Heavenly Father? When you come to Him, you recognize who He is.
Yes.
You don't do just like I do. Oh, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Yep, amen. Means nothing to me. Because I've heard that my whole life. I know it. So what do I need to do? Lord, you're holy.
Yes.
And I want to honor you.
Yes.
And take time to recognize who He is.
Amen.
And where He stands.
Yes.
And what position He holds and what He can do for you.
Amen.
Right? You know, not everybody could go to Him back in the day. They used to have just the priest would be able to go into the Holy of Holies once a year. That was it. Nobody had access to Him. And you, He gives you an open invitation that when you come visit your Heavenly Father, He said you come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find help in a time of need.
That's awesome.
You don't come arrogantly.
Wow.
But you just come to Him, Holy Father. Father, I want to honor you. I recognize who you are. That's being honest too, because that's who He is, right? So we come with respect, we come fearfully, and with reverence. Now this next part is really interesting, because remember, Jesus is teaching His partners how to pray, right? May your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Mm.
So when you see this, He says, may your kingdom come. Now, I recognize this is before people were born again. However, there's more to it here than this. When you look at may your kingdom come and your will be done, which implies what? That it's not yet happening in its full measure. When you look at all the things going on in the earth, do you think God's for killing?
No.
You think He's for dying and death and all the bad things that people are doing to each other? No. Absolutely not. I mean, you would have to think, well, God's got this place under control. It's sure in a mess. Oh, don't worry, because when you get to heaven, it'll be much worse than this. It'll be a wonderful place of corruption. You think, what's wrong with you? Heaven's not corrupt. You'd have to assume that, right? Because God's running the show in heaven. He's not running the show on the earth. Man has the ability or the right to either choose God's way or to refuse God's way.
Yeah.
Right? To receive him or what? To reject him.
Yeah.
So when Jesus is teaching his disciples, pray that the kingdom of God come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, you have to ask yourself, what's it like in heaven? Then that's what his will is on the earth.
That's good.
But because man can either receive or reject him, he's limited to working his will in the lives of individuals. Mm. Like people who receive him, he can work his will in their life. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So when you pray, like, Lord, if it be your will, heal so-and-so, well, then you have to ask your question, what is it like in heaven? It has to be God's will for that person to be well. If heaven has no sickness or no disease, right? So you should resist that down here. What about lack? What about fear? What about all these different things? Well, it's not God's will in heaven, so you know it's not his will here. So you don't have to pray and say, I wonder if it's God's will that he wants me well, he wants me to have enough money, or he wants me to be blessed. You don't have to pray whether that's his will or not. Because if you're praying, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, you just have to ask yourself, what is it like in heaven? Right? Mm-hmm. Then that's what he wants for me here.
Amen.
Amen? So there are many things that are going on in the earth, but they are not the will of the Father. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now, every time somebody gets saved, every time somebody gets born again, what happens? You take them from the kingdom of the enemy, darkness, and you pluck them out of there, and you put them into the kingdom of light. That's the will of God being done. Now, this is really interesting because I learned something. I had to share it with my wife or anything. But I learned something this week. You know, your body has something called micronomes. You go, what's a micronome? It's a really small bacteria or like cell that's really good for your body. And, you know, we could say there's viruses and bacteria, you got the good and the bad, but your body is really made up of mostly good ones, and usually about 4 to 5 pounds of them exist in you. It's a lot of stuff you can't see, microorganisms. But what they said was this, is one reason why you want to eat the right food, because it keeps those micronomes healthy and it keeps your immune system strong. And they said, but you got the bad micronomes who are always present, but there's so few in number that the good ones overpower the bad ones. And we know that. Okay, that makes sense. But here's what you didn't know. Oh, sneaky. The bad ones are constantly recruiting the good ones to join them.
What?
The bad ones are constantly trying to recruit the good ones, because there's so many of them, to join them. So they get a stronger foothold in your body. That's why you constantly have to send in good reinforcements by eating healthy into your body to keep the good ones in strong in number. Right? Because the bad ones are recruiting the good ones. You better not be recruiting the good ones. What's wrong with you? Trying to get them to go over to the dark side. Right? But this is just interesting to me, because we see this operating. You know, you could see it under a telescope and what have you. But this is what's going on in our bodies, but it's also what's going on in the world. Mm. And this is why when Jesus is praying, he's praying, you know, it's teaching us how to pray. And that, God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, the way your body is made up, it's the will of the body to live. Mm. But it's always like under attack. And the body has to know what's good and what's bad. And, you know, sometimes what these bad cells do is they copycat, they look like the good cells. So the body doesn't know they're really a bad cell. So it adapts to it and lets it come in and things like that. Well, spiritually speaking, you got to know what's the good thing and what's the bad thing. And if you think everything on earth is God's will, then that's like the bad cells. They're going to trick you into thinking, well, you have no choice. But if you logically start to think about it, you have to think, well, no, this can't be God's will. Right. And if you don't know it's his will or it's not his will, then you can't resist it. Just like the lady who, or the wife of my manager, who I forgave him. I mean, I let it go. I'm just remembering the story. No bad feelings, right? But if you don't know the will, then you can't resist. You can't resist it if it's bad, and you can't receive it if it's good, because you're in the position of, you don't know, right? You're in a no man's land. So God wants you to know that his will, what's his will for your life? It's like you were already in heaven. That's his will.
That's good.
Amen? All right, so it says, next, give us this day the bread we need. So what you need today? It says, believe the Father and he'll provide it for you. You don't need what you need for tomorrow, today. You just need what you need today.
That's good.
Did you ever think about, someone said, I need this because I don't want to deal with that situation tomorrow. I want to make sure I have it today. But today is the tomorrow you talked about yesterday? I had this down in Chinese. We could say it like this. 今天是昨天的明天, right? Today is yesterday's tomorrow.
That's good.
So what you thought you needed yesterday, you got it today.
Yeah.
But that's not yet tomorrow, because you're not there. All you have is today. So when Jesus is teaching you how to pray, see, the problem is that sometimes we want everything now so that we don't need to think about the tomorrow. But if you think about it, tomorrow will have different needs than what you have today.
Yeah.
So you don't need tomorrow because you got today.
Right. Yeah.
Right? You don't know what's coming tomorrow. So you can't possibly think, all I need this for tomorrow, when tomorrow isn't here yet. Because that might have changed tomorrow.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about tomorrow. God's got that part under control, right? So we don't want to be in a lack of faith. We just want to we want to trust God for what we need today. That means you don't have to worry about what? Tomorrow. You just do what you can for today. All right, so the next part, he's teaching us how to pray, right? It says, forgive us what we owe to you, talking to the Heavenly Father, so as we have also forgiven those who owe us anything. Now, do we practice this? Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's great. We might judge ourselves by our good intentions, and we judge others by what they do. Well, I would have done that if I could have, but I couldn't. But I was going to, so I'm a good person. But they tried to do something, but it didn't work out, but they're bad. So we don't want to judge ourselves by our good intentions, and we judge others by what they actually do. And in this case, he says, forgive us what we owe to you, Heavenly Father, just like we've also forgiven those who owe us a debt. So if you don't let something go, how can God let it go? And when you forgive somebody, this isn't about feelings anymore. This is about, it doesn't matter how you feel, because you already, what, by choice, forgave them. Like, if Brooke owed me $25, how much do you owe me, Brooke? Oh, you don't owe me. I let it go, Brooke. I forgive you. She don't owe me anything. But if she did, and I said, Brooke, you know what? Let it go. I let it go. You don't owe me. It's gone. I forgave you. Then the next day, I get an unexpected bill where I got to pay $25. I can't go to Brooke and say, Brooke, I changed my mind. I need that money. Why? Because I forgave her already.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how I feel that my tomorrow changed my situation. No. When God forgives us, he also requires us to forgive others who might have done us wrong. Why? Because we're in partnership with God.
Yeah.
And we know whatever somebody might have done us wrong, he can make it right. Mm-hmm. But if he's forgiven us for a lot, hasn't he?
Yes.
Now, I can take a note on some of you. I got files. Me and Facebook were really close, and I got so much data on you guys, it's nuts, it's amazing.
FCC file.
The FCC file, classified. So what God requires of us, well, if we want to walk in forgiveness with him, he's like, don't get caught up on the small things that other people have done to you. You know, and he gives us the illustration in scripture where a guy owed a few dollars to someone, and the servant owed his master like $1 million, and the master forgave him. And then he went out and found somebody who owed him like $20 and demanded that he get him paid. Mm. And the Lord called him wicked,
mm-hmm.
wicked servant,
yeah.
threw him in jail.
Yeah.
Right? So this is important. You can't say, well, I just got these feelings of anger and hate. Well, that's because you're living by your feeling.
Yeah.
But when that thought or that feeling comes, you got to cast it down. And you look at, oh, Lord, look what you did for me. You just read that prayer, forgive me what I owe you, just like I forgive what people owe me.
Mm.
Right?
Amen.
Not so religious anymore, right? It's like, I'll let it go. All right, next one. Just about done. Keep us clear of temptation and save us from evil. This goes back to the Lord directing and keeping you from the evil that's in the world.
Mm-hmm.
In King James, it says, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. So when we read it a little bit differently, I like this because it says, keep us clear of temptation. Now, how does that apply to me? Well, okay, let's use this as an example. You know there's times that you wanted to go do something, and you were doing something. You were going to go somewhere and do something, and the Lord dealt with you, and you just felt really strongly, like, I shouldn't do that, right? How many of you ever just kept doing it and go, I knew I shouldn't have, but I did? Okay,
yeah.
Okay. But then there's other times when he gets real loud with you and says, don't do that. Go the other way, get away, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, I kind of want to do that, but I won't.
Right.
What happened? Well, in those cases, for example, he's keeping you from temptation.
Yeah.
Not because he wants to see how strong you are, so you don't see how weak you are. And a perfect example of this is with Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Remember, Joseph didn't do anything wrong. Potiphar's wife, she's coming, she's putting the moves on him, she's trying to get close to him, and he runs out of his coat to get away. And you know the story? She says, look at this guy tried to rape me and I grabbed his coat. And yet that wasn't the case. God redeemed Joseph. But he didn't sit around and debate. Say, look, ma'am, we really shouldn't be doing this at this time. This is not right. He didn't. There's a time for you just to run.
Yeah.
Not to sit there and debate it. And people go, how come? You don't have to give reasons. You should just leave.
Yeah.
And this is especially so, like, you know, if you had a problem with something in the past.
Yeah.
You don't want to put yourself in a position to where that feeling start to come back. Or those urges start to come back. Right? You know, if, whatever it is. I mean, if, I'll use the word chocolate cake. Okay, say it's chocolate cake. Don't work in a bakery. Don't go, I want to work at the chocolate cheesecake factory or whatever. Don't do that to yourself because you're going to be around it. And it's going to start to pull on you, right?
Yeah.
Don't hang around people who do that. That's when he's talking about, lead us not, keep us clear of what? Temptation. You're not supposed to see, God knows whether you're going to stand or fall. Part of being strong is not getting in that place to begin with.
That's right, that's right.
That's when you want to know you're strong. You know, it's like Samson was strong, he lasted a long time. No. He was weak. The reason is, now I learned that situation specifically. But if you're going to stand to see how strong you are, you're already lost. You've already missed it. Because the Bible says to flee that situation. Not to stand there and see how long they get. Remember I told you about my grandma in the smoke factory last week? Grandma smoked so much that, like, when I went over to her house on Sunday, we used to go over to grandma's house. She cooked dinner. They played cards. I tagged along as a kid. And my uncles were there. My grandma was there. They smoked so much, you couldn't see anything when you walked in the room. They put a towel over the smoke detector in their house so it wouldn't go off. And as, I mean, I understand Marlboro, Marlboro Country, Marlboro Bob, Marlboro 100s. I know it all. All right. And this is when cigarettes were really cigarettes. You know, I mean, this is like stronger back in the day. So going in there, I never really had a, I never wanted to smoke, to be honest, because I was exposed to it. My lungs would burn when I was a kid. It was like, can we just play cards? And, you know, there's so much smoke, I can't see the table. Smoke. And so, if I had a problem with that, though, I wouldn't go hang out and work at the smoke shop. Or somewhere where my feelings could be brought alive. Mm-hmm. I'm not being strong by seeing how long I can stand. Mm. I'm being weak because I shouldn't be in that position to begin with. If I was really strong, I wouldn't be trying to resist my feelings. I'd leave that situation behind. Yeah. Right. Joseph, he left the situation. He just had a cloud of dust. That's all you saw. Right? He got out of there. And you know, and I know, the longer you look at that chocolate cake, the better it looks. And you're just going to taste it to make sure it's fresh. Just one slice. Count the calories. You know, look on the back. And okay, well, just two slices, but no more. Before you know it, you're like, well, I might as well finish the whole thing because I already, you know, started. But if I would have never bought it or brought it home, I wouldn't have to resist it. I wouldn't have to give up in Sunday, or, you know, early in the middle of the night and go talk to it and yell at it and rebuke it and say how bad and evil it is. If I didn't bring it home, right? So sometimes when you see this, Lord, keep me clear of temptation, you're saying, Lord, when I'm about to make a big mistake, when I'm about to partner with somebody who shouldn't be my partner, you know, business partner, whatever, and you hear the Lord really directing you, listen to Him. It's His will. He's trying to keep you clear of that.
Yeah.
Right? He's not trying to get you involved in it. He's trying to get you out of it. So He's speaking to you on it. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
All right, last. And this is where we come to Matthew 6. Keep reading down verse 33. And you know this verse. Maybe you know this verse. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Right? So what is God wanting us to do? He wants us to seek first His kingdom. Now kingdom, you know, it comes from the word king and dominion. The king and dom, or king's dominion. So what does the king have dominion, or what is his domain? What is it over? Right? He said, if you put His things first, He will add all these natural things that you need. He'll add it to you. You don't have to add it to yourself. Why? Because He's partnering with you. When you realize thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, what is this kingdom He wants you to seek? Well, He says, as you put His things first, then He'll make sure that you get everything that you need. Mm-hmm. Because you're partnering with Him, He knows what you need. But yours and my priorities have to be straight. Like, for example, would it be okay, I'm believing God to get healed if my body's hurting, just so I could sin and have more fun? Lord, please help me feel better because I want to, you know, I got the big casino trips and I'm a big time gambler and it's hard when I can't walk as well. I mean, you know, my arthritis acts up and I can't pull the levers and push the buttons as much as I would like. Right? Well, that's not a good reason to want to get healed.
Right.
If I'm saying, Lord, help me get healed because, now you got to be honest with Him, right? This is what we're talking about. He knows.
Yeah.
Say, Lord, help me not want to do that thing. But Lord, if you help me, I want to be able to go to church.
Yeah.
I want to be able to just wake up and serve you.
Yes.
That's a different story than you wanting to go somewhere else. Now, I'm not against, you know, like, for example, I was at, you ever go to hotels and there's a breakfast and people talk, right? You're traveling or whatever. I heard these couples talking. One couple says, I got to hurry up and get on more cruises before I can't do them anymore. I want to hit 23 cruises. That's my goal. Before my body fails, I want to go on some more cruises. I want to get over 20. 23 would be good, but I want as many as I can get before my body fails.
Wow.
Well, do you think it would be wrong if I'm partnering with God? Lord, can you keep my body strong so I can hit 30 cruises? I'm having so much fun just going on these cruises. I'm not really concerned about you or your kingdom, but I want you to be overly concerned about me and my cruises. Right? That would make sense. I mean, it's you're not being, or I would not be honest if I'm like, I'm just trying to get healed so I can sin without pain.
Wow.
Lord, can you make me immune to any STDs so I can go have fun, Lord? people are people. Wish we never would have to go there, but that's sometimes what it is. Okay. So, if we want the Lord to increase us, say, materially, why?
Yeah.
Is it because we want to give more to His kingdom? Mm-mm. And in seeking His kingdom, if you put His kingdom first, what is His kingdom? His kingdom, as we read, what's it like in heaven? That's what you're seeking for your life here on earth. Mm-hmm. So if you put His things first, you know, people go, Lord, I want more money, I want more money. Why do you want more money? Mm. Because when I win the lottery, I'm giving to God. I'm giving big. Well, if you haven't gave big yet, you're not going to give big if you hit it big. Because if, you know, just think this through with me. Look at it on a natural side. If you went into business and you had a partner and they wanted you to put everything up front, and then they kept saying, well, when we hit it big, I'll put in some money. And they want to come in and eat free and watch free and do free, whatever. And you're like, look, I keep helping you. Like, you ever have relatives that the only time you hear from them is when they need something?
Yeah.
I got some of those too. I keep saying, I'm going to block their number. I'm just going to put, don't answer this call. You know, it's costing $$, right? So if every time, what do you feel like? Just ask yourself, what do you feel like is anytime you talk to a relative that you know when they call you, they're going to want something? How does that make you feel? Hmm. They want you to do them a favor. Hmm. Oh, not a favor. I know what that favor means. I'm being honest, right? Maybe you're that relative. You don't think there's anything wrong with it. You're like, oh, it's okay. I just say. But on the flip side, it's like, oh, please, just don't need something this time.
Yeah.
And they're like, and everything, like, hey, it's good to talk to you. I missed you. And you're like, yeah. And they're like, oh, can I get this? And you're like, no. But how does that make you feel? It doesn't make you feel good. It doesn't mean you don't care about the person. But they're not asking you what you need. They're not asking you, can I help you with anything? Do you need anything? It's always, do me a favor. Well, what when you come to God and you're always asking Him for something, rather than asking Him what you can do for Him? Yeah, He's patient and long-suffering, but you're in partnership, right? So that means partners both have a part. They both have a role.
Yeah.
So as we seek His kingdom first,
yes,
we're like, Lord, I want to commit to You.
Yeah.
I'm going to serve You,
yeah,
right? Because then Your rewards are eternal.
Yes.
And you're not going to fall behind. You're not going to lack.
Yes.
Because you're putting His kingdom first.
That's
and He'll
right.
make sure that He takes care of you.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
All right. I think that's enough for today.
Nice.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and close in prayer. Then Tony will come up and be ready to take up the offering. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you that as we seek your kingdom and your righteous way, the right and honest manner by which we are to live before you, that you stated in your word that as we seek you, that all of our needs will be met here on earth, that we don't have to fear that we'll go in lack, Lord, because that you will supply and that you're faithful. Thank you, Lord, for helping us or enabling us to be co-laborers, workers together with you, that we have a part to play. Lord, show us where we can take our part so we can serve you with great joy and gladness. And we just thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be a part of what you're doing on the earth today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.